We take the bread, and we take it in remembrance of Jesus Christ. We take it in remembrance of the Last Supper, the First Communion, the Passover meal where Jesus and all the disciples got together and they celebrated the Seder dinner. And Jesus commented in that time that this would be done perpetually, would be done on. And so we still do it forward. And the bread, when we look at the bread, we look at the body of the Lord Jesus, which he describes as broken for you. So we thought about broken, and certainly we're going to talk about broken with the crucifixion, because Jesus Christ was crucified on the cross. He was, his hands or wrists were pierced with nails. His feet, ankles were pierced with nails. He was pierced with a sword in the side. He was broken, if you will. But what are some of the other things that get broken in life? You ever think about communion and your own life and being broken? Because there's a lot of stuff in our lives that get broken, aren't there? Sometimes broken marriages. You know, you marry somebody, you're going to be married forever, and that's your plan, but something happens and it gets broken. And it wasn't a plan, but it is what happened. Other times, you know, you have a child, and boy, you hold that child in your arms, and you think, oh, I'm going to do such a good job being a parent to you, and I know you're going to be the greatest kid, and I love you so much. And somewhere along the way, you know, things get factored in. There's rebellion, there's sometimes drugs, different things get factored in. Sometimes those relationships get broken. And I think about in the life of Jesus, we read about Joseph and coming to Bethlehem, and we read about Joseph coming back from Egypt. But, you know, as we read through the narrative of the New Testament, the Gospels, suddenly Joseph just isn't mentioned anymore. What happened? We don't know. Did he die? Did he leave them? Did he abandon? We don't know. But whether he died or abandoned them or whatever happened, something got broken. Because life here on earth gets broken a lot. We all have our own stories and our own testimonies. I mean, we could get up, every one of us, and probably go on for an hour or two about all the things that have been broken in our lives. Your health breaks down. You just get broken. But the interesting thing about communion, when we take the body of Jesus, we take this little wafer. It's kind of like a cracker. And it's broken. I mean, somewhere in that bowl or the other bowl, there's another piece that would fit in there. I guess we could reassemble it like a puzzle. But that's not the point, isn't to reassemble it like a puzzle. The point is that we would take this in remembrance of Jesus Christ. And by taking this, the brokenness of him, and reminding ourselves of the brokenness of us, suddenly, when I take this, and you take one, and you take one, and you take one, and you take one, suddenly we are all uniting together. And suddenly the brokenness becomes unity. Yeah. And so that's the bread. The brokenness of Christ suddenly being infused and brought back to life in us. Broken vessels, bringing healing to God's kingdom. And then we take the cup. Now, of course, back in Jesus' day, they had one cup and they passed it all around, and somewhere along the way, we decided that was gross. So we have these little cups. And back in Jesus' day, they used wine. And today, you know, if a lot of us, you know, we don't drink for various reasons, and so we substituted juice. But it's still, you know, it's still from the grape. So we're still reminded that the juice reminds us of something different. It reminds us of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And of course, you know, we instantly think of the cross, because when Jesus was crucified, the blood came from his hands, the blood came from his feet, he was stabbed, the blood came from his side, as well as water, the scripture says. And so we know the crown of thorns was pressed on his head, and there was blood there. And so we see the cross, the crucifixion, as a bloody event. And that's all true. And we know that if you get cut bad enough and your blood leaks out of your body, you become weak to the point of death and even dying. Because without the blood carrying all the nutrients and oxygen throughout your body, you know, the human body cannot survive. So we die. And so when we take communion, we remember that Jesus' blood was shed. But more than what was shed out of his physical body was the fulfillment of all of the Old Testament. Because in Christ, it also, as he is sacrificed on the cross, we are reminded of all the sacrifices through all the generations, all the priests back in the Holy of Holies, sacrificing the bulls, sacrificing the lambs, sacrificing the pigeons, and all the things and all the blood that was shed through all the sacrifices was all brought together. Not just in the cross, but also in this cup. And then we take that cup in remembrance of Jesus, and we drink it. And we bring it back to life. Because we are living beings. And so you see, what was dead is now alive. And it is us that does that. And so communion becomes so much more than a cracker and a sip of juice. It becomes so much more than a church ritual, though it is that. It is so much more. Because it is through the bread and the cup that we remember that we are united with one another and Jesus Christ. So we sing, just a closer walk with thee. And this is one of the ways that we express our closer walk. Troy talked about, have you lost your love? Well, if you have, you know, like in a marriage, a lot of times, you know, you get busy with your work and you're busy with your stuff, and all of a sudden every little thing your spouse does just irritates you to death. And all of a sudden, you know, maybe you go to a marriage conference, or maybe you just hear a song on the radio or whatever, and it wakes you back up. And it's like, oh, I got to fix this relationship. This is what communion does to us every single month. This reminds us the seriousness of our relationship with Jesus Christ. This is not a casual handshake thing. There's a lot of people in my life that I know, a lot of people that I call acquaintances, a lot of people I call friends, but there's only one that I commune with on the deepest level, and that's Jesus Christ, even deeper than I commune with my wife. Because this is an eternal thing that I do, that we do. When you take communion, what goes through your mind? Is it how much Jesus loves you? How much you love him? How he died for you, gave life for you? That you could have a better life than you ever imagined. That you could have peace in every circumstance and situation. That, you know, whether, no matter who's in the White House, No matter who's in the governor's seat, no matter who moves in next door, no matter what happens, no matter who dies, no matter who gets sick, there's still peace. Why? Because we've not only unified with one another, we've unified with the constant who is Jesus Christ. And he will never change. And therefore, if we are united with him, we can stand firmly saying that we will not change. Because we are bathed in him. Today, as you take communion, I want you to take it with this idea that this is your idea to fall in love and reconnect with Jesus and with his people afresh, anew. You say, well, there's kind of nothing wrong with my relationship. Every relationship can be improved on. Everyone, including our relationship with Jesus Christ. That is my challenge to you today. Improve your relationship. If the elders would please come. Practice the wafer. We are reminded by it that Jesus Christ is just about to be put back together in us. We are about to bring him to life through our lives. Because as we take this, we remember how he lived, why he lived, who he was, why God sent him. We remember all that. You think, you know, I'm not doing a very good job. Amen. You're not. Me neither. But we're working on it. After all, we're just one piece. If we would all get put back together, we would do the job just like he wants. So take this in remembrance. Take this with faith. Take this with hope. Knowing that one day, all things will be put right back together, just how they are. And so we take this, believing in him and knowing in him. As often as you take it in remembrance of Jesus Christ. My daughter bought me this DNA test from Ancestry.com. You put a little saliva in a tube and you send it off to a bunch of people you don't know, and they keep your DNA for all eternity. And with that DNA, they compare you to other people that are also in their database. So I periodically, regularly, get emails from Ancestry.com telling me, hey, you're related to this person. They're your fourth cousin or your fifth cousin. You have a, you know, my mom, she took one too, and it came back and said, you have a very close relationship with this person. And it's all through the DNA. It's all through that testing of what's the DNA that's within us, the molecular structure of how the DNA strand is twisted and all of the little branches that are on it and all that way stuff that I don't understand. But this I know, that every month I pick up a small cup and am reminded that I'm not only related to those people that Ancestry tells me about, I'm related to Jesus Christ, who is God in the flesh, because I drink this in remembrance of him and how he and I are related. We are family. He is my father. He is my brother. He is my God. As often as you take this cup, take it in remembrance that not all of your family is here on earth. Some of your family is in heaven. You might be thinking, oh yeah, my dad or my mom or whatever. No, that might be true, but I'm talking about Jesus Christ sitting at the right hand of God today. This is his cup that we take. This this is his trophy, that his blood was shed for the remission of our sins. He was a victor. To the victor go the spoils. We are his spoils. This cup reminds us that we are his children and that he is the champion of our lives, and he lets us partake in it. He lets us partake in his life and his victory. There is no other God that allows us to share things like this, that we can be with him in mind, spirit, and for a while, in body. As often as you take this, take it in remembrance of your union with Jesus Christ, that his blood is your blood, his behavior is your behavior, his future is your future, and his past is your past. When he died for your sins, he took your sins and he cast them away. As often as you take this, take it in remembrance of him. We thank you for this cup. We thank you, Father, for the communion that it is between us and you, that we, Lord, are made new every day because of you. Thank you, Father, for this month and this time that we can share this communion with each other and with you. In Christ's name, we gratefully thank you. And all God's people said,
Amen. Amen.